that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe we find one of the answers that we might very often ask ourselves. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Why am I here at Heritage Baptist Church? Why am I a Christian? What does God have in store for me? Why am I here? You ever asked that question? I couldn't imagine being lost and having that question in my mind. There's many out there today who are lost. They do not know why they are here on this earth. But here in 1 Peter chapter 4, I believe that this question is being answered as Christians. Why we are here? What our purpose is here on this earth? Our purpose, I like to answer, is to honor and glorify God in everything we say and do. To serve him with our lives. Matthew 5 might suggest that, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. To exemplify his love. And how can we do that in 2024? I think the writer here in 1 Peter chapter number 4 tells us this. Very quickly, I want to go through what is an acronym of the DNA of a Christian. Our genetic makeup, our purpose, why we're here, what we are made up of as a Christian, which is to glorify Christ, to honor him and serve him with our lives. First of all, number one, how can we fulfill our purpose? How can we live out what God has intended for us to live here on this earth? Number one, to the direction God has taken us. The direction God has taken us. We read here in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, for the time past in verse 3 of your life may suffice us to have wrought the Gentiles, when we have walked in lascivious lusts, excess of wine, so on and so on, wherein they think it might be strange that you run not with them to this excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Verse 12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. May I encourage us tonight, do not be ashamed of your past. There might be things that you aren't proud of, but can I tell you tonight that God might have taken you through a stretch in your life that you don't look back looking at as fond times, but maybe it's a time that God brought you through to fulfill his purpose one day. Amen. And to glorify him one day. Amen. I love a quote I heard of a pastor say one time, that our past is a signpost to our future. What culture maybe were you introduced to as a young child? Maybe what trial or valley did God bring you through that you didn't understand at the time that God might want to use for his glory? Right. I think we find this principle all through Scripture. How about Elijah being born in a very rugged lifestyle, very rough upbringing? Didn't have an easy life, but guess what? He had a tough task to go one day face Ahab and Jezebel. God was preparing him at a young age. How about David tending to sheep, herding sheep? Not bad training to one day have to lead a nation, pastor a nation. How about Moses being brought through an Egyptian family? And guess what? God called him back to Egypt one day to lead his people out of Egypt. God might be preparing you or have prepared you in your past for something down the road. What direction has God taken you? When I was a senior in high school, my family went through a very low trial, a very deep valley. My mom was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer called anaplastic carcinoma. I remember after her diagnosis, we rushed her to MD Anderson, the top cancer hospital in the world. And there at MD Anderson, they only treat, it was some low number, like 14, 15 cases a year out of the thousands and thousands of patients. And she would go on, she was given 3 or 4 months to live, she would go on to live 11 months. And I remember being in my senior year of high school thinking, God, why? Why would you give this to a beautiful 45-year-old pastor's wife? The holiest person I've ever met. I felt like maybe there were more people out there deserving of that. You know what? It was like the Holy Spirit told me and gave me a peace. Justin, you might be going through this right now to one day be able to help somebody down the road that no one else can help them because they haven't gone through that or they don't understand, but you do. It's amazing how God works. It was just back in February where I married the love of my life, Jesse over here. And Jesse lost her first husband to cancer. It was a year in January we found out that her mom was diagnosed with a very fast, aggressive cancer. It was like everything was coming full circle. We weren't even engaged at that time, and God was pressing on my heart. See, Justin, you might be able to help Jesse through this valley. Turn over with me very quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 1 in verse number 3. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God might be bringing you through a trial, or maybe a lot of trial once in your life, for a higher purpose one day to fulfill. What direction is God taking you? Secondly, we can fulfill our purpose, through our DNA as a Christian, through the needs he has shown us. The needs he has shown us. Look at it with me in verse 9. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what? God might be trying to use you in a great way tonight. God recently might have revealed a need to you. Maybe it could be around the church. Maybe it could be in your community. Maybe it could be in your neighborhood. And God is wanting to use you as a vessel to fulfill that need. Amen. Don't ever run from what God might be calling you to do tonight. Because God might be trying to use you. And I've learned this in ministry, sometimes through my life and sometimes even through others' lives. If God doesn't use me, he'll use somebody else. If we don't respond to what God has for us, he'll use somebody else. And we will miss out on that blessing, that reward, that fruit. What is it that maybe God has shown you in recent days? Maybe it's something that convicts your heart or moves you more than it would move the person sitting next to you. Maybe it's to help a hospital, or maybe it's to help law enforcement, or be a ministry, or to reach out to one of those that are on front lines and essential workers. Maybe it's the widows of the church. Maybe it's the bus ministry. Maybe it's outreach. And God is wanting to use you in a special way. We can fulfill our purpose here on earth by the needs he has shown us. Lastly, may we notice the abilities he has given us. How can we fulfill our purpose? Through the abilities he has given us. Look at it in verse number 10. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And here it is, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know one thing I love about God is his creation. How many of you saw the Northern Lights? One person? Man, the Northern Lights, go on social media. It's beautiful. God's creation. And what happened on the West Coast and even through the Midwest? One thing I love is God's creation, how vast, different it is, how unique it is. And what's amazing to me is how different each and every one of us is, right? God has entrusted us with a unique gift. Tonight, your gift might be speaking. Your gift might be mercy. It might be encouragement, like a Barnabas. It might be administration. It might be leadership. It might be love and giving. But each and every one of us has a special gift that God has given us. And the question is tonight, are we using that for his glory? One reason why I love traveling with tour groups, it's my eighth summer traveling, is that these young people are using their gifts for God's glory. Amen? Where's our church pianist? Our church pianist. Right here. You know what? They're using their abilities for the Lord. I love musicians in the church. They could be out earning money, but they're giving their time back to the Lord. The media team, the PA system. We didn't have one error tonight, Pastor, and you'd said, I have a good PA team. He was right. Amen. Well, guess what? They're using their gifts for the Lord. Amen. What is it tonight that God might be have given you, and maybe you're wasting it, maybe you're not using it for the Lord? May I challenge us tonight that we would use our gifts and abilities for the Lord. How can we fulfill our purpose tonight? First, by the direction God has taken us. Second, by the needs he has shown us. And lastly, through the abilities he has given us. I'm going to end with this last illustration. When I was at teen camp, I was 13 years old. I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I'll never forget one of the illustrations. It was at Southland Christian Camp, and the guest preacher was speaking. And he used the illustration of the Ice Bowl. How many of you are Dallas Cowboy fans? Raise your hand. There's only five or six in the room tonight. Maybe the other ones are too timid to raise their hand. But I hate to bring this maybe bad memory for those who might be a little older in the room tonight, but the Ice Bowl in the late 60s, it was against the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. And this game has a legend around it by how the game finished. It was the NFC Championship game, the game leading up to the Super Bowl. And it was a great game, but what was amazing about it was how cold it was. That's why it was known as the Ice Bowl. It was something like negative 20, 25 degrees there. And you were considered insane to have attended the game, much less be playing in the game. They had to take the spikes off their shoes, because it was literally like an ice skating rink on the field. And as the game would progress, it was a close game, low-scoring game, as you can imagine. And the game was coming up right towards the end. The Green Bay Packers were driving with legendary quarterback Bart Starr. They have the ball, and they're coming up to the goal line. There's only a few seconds left on the clock. The legendary coach, Vince Lombardi, calls a timeout and draws up a play. And he looks at one of his key players, an offensive lineman named Jerry Kramer, and says, Jerry, this play is going to hinge on you and whether or not you block the star linebacker for the Cowboys. If you don't get the block, we lose. If you make the block, we win and we're going to the Super Bowl. Jerry Kramer said something like, I got you, coach. And they get back into the huddle. They go up to the line of scrimmage to call the play. And just as the play was drawn up from the legendary Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr takes the quarterback sneak and runs it right behind Jerry Kramer. Kramer makes a key block on the linebacker for the Cowboys. Bart Starr gets in the end zone. Lambeau Field goes crazy. The Packers are celebrating. They win the game. Jerry Kramer is standing there because he notices that all the players are rushing to Bart Starr, who scored the touchdown. And he's thinking, man, I'm the one that made that play happen. He doesn't score if it wasn't for my block. And as he's feeling sorry for himself, this is how the legend goes, he turns around and he locks eyes with his coach, Vince Lombardi. And he sees Vince Lombardi do this. Gives him a thumbs up. And he said right then and there, his spirits were lifted. And he was happy. Because the one that he cared about the most saw what he had just done. He didn't care all of a sudden about everyone else, because the one that mattered to him, his coach, saw his play. May we tonight be reminded, it's not necessarily who sees our works here on earth. It only matters what God sees. We might not get the recognition we think we deserve, or the name from the pulpit, but can I tell you, if we can just continue serving God and just consider who's watching us and God up above and pleasing our Savior, we will finish our race well done. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful tonight that you desire to use us. Lord, as the singer is saying, with all of our shame, with all of our sin, with all of our shortcomings and our insecurities, our mistakes, God, you still want to use us. And Lord, I wonder if there's someone here tonight that might be running from your calling, or maybe hiding their talents that you've given them, or maybe trying to please men and not please you, and maybe getting discouraged and weary and well-doing. God, I pray that that fire would be relit tonight, and that we would seek only to please you and to use our talents for you and to give you the glory for which it is deserved. God, we'll thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.